Welcome to another episode of Logger. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but that's the way things go with real life. Anyway, I wanted to throw in a quick episode here because I just got done playing the first chapter of the Penumbra trilogy and by Frictional Games, and it was wow, it was something. Now, frictionalgames.com is an indie game producer, and Penumbra is not their first game. There are two other games that they have made in the past, which I'll cover at another date, or one of them actually, because I hear that even though it was a Windows-only based game, that it will play under Wine without a problem. But anyway, Penumbra Overture is part one, and it was released, let me think here, Penumbra Overture was released, it's got to be 2006, I believe it is. Maybe a little earlier than that. But it is essentially a first-person-based game. Now, it's not a first-person-based shooter. It is a first-person psychological horror game, kind of in the vein of H.P. Lovecraft. And the story starts off that your name is Philip, and your mother, after your mother's death, you receive a information or a letter from your father who disappeared long before you were born, and why he disappeared you never know, but the letter you receive from him piques your interest and provides potentially some closure or some information with some closure to your father and his existence and why he disappeared, but the answers to those questions that you may have lead to Greenland. So you pack your stuff up, you head off to Greenland, you start off in the ship, and the ship is kind of almost like a little bit of a tutorial stage. It's just a room in the ship. It gives you a bit of an overview of the controls, which are probably a little different than most people are familiar with first-person shooter games. You move around with the mouse going straight right, straight left, strafe left, and I'm sorry, you move around with the keys for going forward and backward and strafing right and left, and you use the mouse to control your look and your crosshairs and all the action on the screen. So this is not a shooter, so to speak, but it is more of a thinking man's game. So there's a pretty good physics engine involved in this game where it allows you to move a lot of obstacles in the environment, like chairs. You know, you need to move a chair out of the way to open a desk drawer, and to open a desk drawer you actually have to grab the desk drawer and pull it open. You know, to open a door you grab the door and pull it or push it. And the same with boxes and other things in the environment. You can pick a can up and move it to a different shelf. And there are challenges based upon that physics engine all throughout this game. So it's one of the things that's difficult in talking about this is by the nature of the game, a good portion of it is figuring out these challenges. So for me to start discussing what some of those challenges are, would be a spoiler, reveal some pretty interesting concepts of the game, because essentially, basically it says, you know, you can pick stuff up, you can open stuff, you can move stuff, you get a flashlight, you get, early on in the game, you get a hammer, so you can swing the hammer in different ways, and you can break boxes, you can break stuff. So it gives you the tools that you need, but it doesn't necessarily say what you're going to do with these tools or how you can use them on the environment in unique ways to produce results that you need. So unlike a lot of first-person games where you go from point A to point B and you have to get, you know, to point C, In order to do that, you have to go back to point A and find a key to open point the door of point B to get you into an area where you lift a lever and get into point C. It's a little more complicated than that and involved of the stuff that you need to do. It's very intuitive if you think about it for a little bit, and very unique, I think, in a lot of the games. The focus here isn't on combat, but you do have some very interesting enemies that, if you're going to play this and get the real atmosphere, you turn out the lights, play it in the dark, it produces a creepy feeling, which is pretty cool. In addition to that, throughout the game, you're going to pick up bits of historical information in the form of memos, newspaper clippings, and notes that are left behind, which not only provide a history of the game and the area that you're in a fascinating way, but also provide clues to what you may need to do to get into a certain area or what you need to do next. This seems at first to be like a solo game. You know, you're where you are in Greenland, out in the frozen tundra, all by yourself. What are you gonna find? But it's odd to say this, but there is some really cool voice acting in this game, and another person that's involved that you'll meet later on named Red, and he's just it's just really good stuff. I was very impressed with the overall quality of this game. Graphics wise, it's pretty decent. I think that they used an older game engine, and thus the, if you compare it to what they have coming out, the third chapter, it is, the third chapter is like, wow, it's beautiful, but these graphics are a little dated, but on the same token, the setting in a mine in Greenland, there's not a whole lot of detail that you would expect, but if we could say that the graphics were a little older generation and not as crisp as some other games that you might find at the same period, because of that maybe dark shadowiness, the grays and lack of detail, it enhances the environment of the game, actually, and it works for it to give it that solemn, depressing atmosphere that they are really going for. Now, the game, I think, is a very decent challenge. A lot of fun. there is some combat. Combat is difficult. And I'll give you a little hint of what I found for combat. To make it a little less problematic is crouching. Crouching is the easiest way to fight a lot of the monsters. And if you pick up this game or try the demo, in the demo you're not going to get into any combat, but if you pick up this game, you'll understand what I mean when you meet the first couple of monsters. Now, right off the bat from the get-go, when you encounter some of the Edensians of this area, you are told that you're not a combat man, you're not a fighting man, and you're better off sneaking around and trying to stay away from a confrontation, which is the case. If you can avoid combat, it's probably your best bet, and sometimes you just can't. Sorry, I had to take a pause there for a second. My bunny was chewing apart some papers over here, and now I lost kind of a train of thought here. Combat. I think I was talking about combat. It's very difficult. Crouching and fighting that way seems to be the easiest. And once you get into the game, you'll understand why and what I'm talking about. There are some very frustrating parts in this game. The steam room, the frozen lake, are two parts that are extremely frustrating. You'll understand when you get to them. I don't want to reveal any more than that, but they're just, there are ways through both of them. It's interesting because some of the times when you observe things, you look at things, what you get from your conscious, or I should say the little narrator in your head, is sometimes almost false information, like very cautious information that eventually you have to not choose to follow, which is, you know, so to speak, because you might think, you know, after the first couple of times you're like listening to the thoughts and your first thoughts that come on the screen in your head in the narration, and you follow that to a T and it gets you through a couple of spots, but later on down the line, you know, you learn that, well, now you got to take some risks and challenges. So that I thought was pretty interesting. The ending, wow. The ending was really, because of the atmosphere, the voice acting, the story, what is great about the ending of this game is a lot of things get tied up and answers are revealed, but yet it's open for the second chapter, and there's some like really big questions that come out in the end, and you know, the ending just draws you into the next chapter of this game, which is Black Plague, and wow, you know, I played this, it lasted me a good 4 or 5 days of playing a couple hours every day. It was that much fun and that enthralling. And it gave me enough of an investment in the game, and that when I got to the end, the emotional effect of the end of this game was just really powerful. It's hard to explain that without revealing the actual end of the game, because it is that, I think, that really that good, one of the best games I've played in a while, storyline, plot-wise. Just everything came together really extremely well done. Yeah, whew, it was a good game, and I highly recommend it. Yeah, if you get over there now, frictionalgames.com, you go over to their store, you can get both chapters, Penumbra Overture, Penumbra Black Plague, and Penumbra Requiem for $20 with the code that they have. You just buy all three games, put them into your cart, use the code, you get all three of them for $20. All three Linux native versions. Penumbra Black Plague is the first chapter. The sequel is, Penumbra Overture is the first chapter. Black Plague is the sequel. Requiem is a puzzle expansion for Black Plague. So it's not the actual third chapter. The third chapter is yet to be released. All three are available for Linux. Great stuff. $20. It's well worth it. I highly recommend it. I look forward to playing Black Plague to see how the graphics engine might be improved. The physics engine might have improved a bit there, too. I'm looking forward to that. The demo I've seen for the third chapter looks amazing, and I cannot wait. So if you are into psychological horror stories, horror games, survival-type games, you know, first-person style, check this out. This is really, really good stuff, top-notch. I think Frictional Games did a fantastic job. And I thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it's really short, but I'm going to get the little beaster back on here again in a couple of weeks. It's hard because she kind of like stopped playing a lot of games on the system, not only because of schoolwork, but because she's been completely wrapped up when she's playing games on the computer with Echelon Book 1. She's been playing the heck out of that game. We both were for a while, but she's been playing it more than I have. And again, that is another fantastic game. RPG, it's a lot of fun. Old school RPG, and we were both digging it. And it's great to see her play that style of game. So I thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Keep on playing some games, and have a happy.
That wraps up another episode of Logger. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, Logger is released under Creative Commons for non-commercial use license. Feel free to copy, excerpt from, or distribute Logger for non-commercial purposes. The opening music of the show is provided by James Underberg, called The Battle, with sound effects from Blob Wars by Parallel Realities. We'll see you next time.